And you've tuned in to another episode of The Wellness Couch, where science and ancient wisdom collaborate, 3ABR 87.6 FM. And we're your hosts, Kat and Brett Morrison. Tonight, we've got a feature on tonight. We're going to talk all about sugar, aren't we, Brett?
We are, and we are also streaming live on Facebook on the Civilized Savage page. So for those that want to tune in, you'll be able to see us live there. So if you see me looking around, I'll just be checking some of the monitors around the studio. But yeah, tonight we are looking at and talking about that little sweet sugar.
Yeah, now most people are well aware that consuming a lot of sugar isn't exactly healthy. But many people don't understand how dangerous being addicted to sugar can actually be. So over and over again, I mean, the research and, you know, all the scientists tell us that sugar is directly linked to obesity, cardiovascular disease and health, and many other health issues like, you know, type 2 diabetes. And none of us want to deal with it, really. So since we're, you know, here talking about sugar tonight... Well, people actually talk to me about their sugar addiction often know that sugar is actually bad. Don't we agree?
Yeah, look, I think there is definitely getting more awareness around that. There's definitely even now campaigns on TV about reducing sugar. So you've got doctors coming out talking about reducing sugar. Now, for many years, dentists have always been talking about sugar, especially for teeth health or dental health. But it's now, like you said, going mainstream with cardiovascular disease, diabetes. I guess diabetes has always been a big one with too much sugar intake. But I think there's been a lot more neuroscience being done with it as well, and the impact that sugar is having on the brain, and also then a lot of the chemical reactions that are occurring in our brain which keep us addicted to it.
Yeah, look, for obvious reasons, we do have a love-hate relationship with sugar. It can taste so good but leave you feeling so bad. So consuming sugar actually lights up your brain. Well, your brain reward center, flooding your brain with the feel-good neurotransmitter dopamine, and that's why, you know, people actually get addicted to it. We get the sugar hit high, but at the same stage, the roller coaster has to come swimming down. And sugar junkies develop tolerance to sugar, and that means that they actually need a lot more of it as time goes on. So as you know by now, there's movies out there like, you know, movies such as a sugar film. I Quit Sugar is a big industry at the moment, that sugar film. But we're all eating far too much sugar, obviously. So, in fact, according to the Australian Health Survey, we are eating roughly, you ready for this? 14 teaspoons of sugar a day, each of us. About 14.
Yeah, and that probably doesn't sound like a lot when you say 14 a day, but when you talk about over a year, that adds up to be a significant amount. We're talking about kilos and kilos of sugar.
Yeah, but... that is more than double the maximum amount recommended by the WHO organisation to stay healthy, which they normally recommend about 6 teaspoons. So we're eating about 14.
Yeah.
So that's more than double than what we're supposed to. Now, when people come to see me about their sugar addiction, often they do know that sugar is bad. They understand that sugar can be deadly, but something is preventing them from breaking their own addiction. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight, a little bit about that too. They don't realise how much sugar they actually consume. That's some of the issues that I see. They don't believe that their sugar consumption is tied to an addiction.
It's also about where sugar is hidden too, I think. So people think that if they have a burger or something, then you know, that's okay because it's bread, but hidden in that will be sugar.
Yeah, and they've tried to quit eating sugar but found it too hard. So why is our sugar addiction so strong? So a lot of people think that sugar is natural and therefore it can't be that bad. And while that statement might be true for some foods like fruit, where the sugar is naturally occurring and comes along with many helpful vitamins and nutrients and even fibre.
Fibre is probably that big one that comes along with fruit.
Well, yeah, because it does modulate the blood sugar levels in people. So the fibre is a big thing that a lot of people don't talk about in their food or their diets. And it's essential. Most of the sugar we consume is highly refined, and this is the problem. They take out the fibre and is loaded into pretty much every processed and prepackaged food that you'll find in a grocery store. And this is the actual problem that... that we're having at the moment, the prevalence. It's not doing us any favours. And any dentist would agree with me that they profit from these sugary foods and sweet drinks causing tooth decay.
Yeah, and I think if we even go back a step, because you talk about fruit, and a lot of people say, look, when you're trying to get rid of sugar, you know, don't eat fruit because it's got sugar in it. But you think about the fibre in that. But if you look at sugar cane, and I'm not too sure how many people have actually seen sugar cane live. I grew up in a sugar mill town, So we used to have a sugarcane train that used to go right through the middle of town. So we used to buy our sugar by the 20 kilo bag from the mill. So that was always very cool. But if you chew on a piece of sugarcane, it is just pure fiber. Like it is just stringy, fibrous cane. Very sweet, but very fibrous. So when you look about the plant and the way it's naturally meant to be used, or it can be naturally eaten, gee, there's a lot of fiber in it.
Yeah, look, our food supply is broken and there's far too much hidden sugar, like I said before, that we eat every day. Foods that we eat every day, and this is the issue, the excess sugar consumption is directly or indirectly to be blamed for our obesity epidemic, even developmental issues and behavioural issues in children that I've seen in clinic, and psychological and behavioural issues, many of which tend to be treated with prescription drugs these days. Even scarier is a dependence sugar quickly creates for even more sugar, like I talked about, because it becomes like an opiate and we build up a tolerance for sugar. And then the cycle is prevalent there. We need even more sugar.
Yeah.
You can't become obese overnight or develop heart disease or lose bone density, but sugar addiction will produce these sorts of harmful effects little by little, and this is where it gets very insidious. So let's have a look at some of them. So sugar syrups, fruit juice, concentrates, they're all added to foods to make them taste more desirable. So the marketing companies have us by the, you know, these days. In fact, food manufacturers add a lot of addictive chemicals in their products to make you come back for more, you know, for their profits, obviously.
Well, I guess, you know, if you want to get quite cynical about it, I guess if you look back at the tobacco industry, you know, they put a lot of things into cigarettes that help you stay addictive, and some of the campaigns around, you know, sugar being natural and all sorts of things that deflect, deny campaign that sugar has used is very similar to the campaign that tobacco industries used to use as well. So just a quick shout out to Sean, who's watching at the moment. Go, Sean.
All right, so in the case of sugar, though, these are empty kilojoules, and this is an issue. So they're not nutrient laden. The danger is that you can have too much sneaking in without any awareness. Okay, so you've got a lot of calories and there's no nutrient density. There's no nutrient reason why you actually need to eat sugar. And the potential is there for weight issues, type 2 diabetes, blood pressure issues. And then most people have an idea that sugar is laden in biscuits and sweet drinks. Don't you agree?
Well, I guess that's the easy place to look.
Yeah, but they aren't aware that 75% of sugar that you eat comes from pre-packaged foods and drinks. Now, this is what I see in clinic all the time. Yep. Most people do not know that processed foods actually carry a lot of sugar. So these are everyday staples that you'll find in your pantry, and they are actually labelled as being healthier, or sometimes you'll find them in the health food section. And this is what takes people, they have a lack of awareness that they'll see labels that they're healthier or they're a health food.
It does make it difficult, especially for parents who are trying to get snacks for their kids for school. So they go to, they go for fruit bars and things like that. So it does make it very challenging for a lot of people, unless, like yourself, they're trained in understanding what sugar does and where it's hidden.
All right, so let's make our audience aware of what's going on and what to look out for first. So the first steps in recognising sugar does have many names, and I do tell my patients to look out for words in the ingredient list that start with OSE. That is a very common one. So you've got sucrose, glucose, dextrose, maltose. They're all processes of sugar to look out for. Now, there's many other names. I think there's about 52 names that I remember studying that sugar comes under. But look out for the common names like agave syrup, barley malt syrup, brown rice syrup.
Corn syrup.
Evaporated cane juice, fruit juice concentrate. This is a big one because a lot of people have breakfast juices and they're actually made of fruit juice concentrate, which is just added sugar, just highly added sugar. Honey, molasses, rice malt, tapioca syrup, they're all names that you'll find for sugar. Okay, so have a look at that ingredient list at the back of a product that you're going to buy. And the first 3 to 5 ingredients are normally the most important, and the first 5 are normally the most essential ingredients that are in that.
So I think juices are a good one to have a look at up front, because a lot of people do have juice. They think, well, if I have fruit juice for the morning, and they can buy 100% fruit juice, and some of the bottles say, look, 21, 21 apples in a bottle, whatever it is.
Yeah, but the fibre's taken out, which means the sugar goes straight to the bloodstream.
So that's the thing, right? So if you have a glass of that, there could be four or five apples that have been juiced for... all that sugar from four or five apples is in that glass. But if you tried to eat four or five apples, you couldn't do it. So you got to put that in perspective. So could I eat four or five apples? And you go, no, well, then maybe you shouldn't be drinking that glass of juice that has the sugar or four or five apples.
Yeah. All right. So it's obvious that the more processed a food is, the more sugar alarm bells should ring. Most definitely. So we'll look at breakfast. Breakfast cereals are filled with sugar. Supersized bottles of fruit juice, like we said, are no better with juice concentrate. You look at toasted mueslis.
Surely Fruit Loops is made of fruit.
Yeah, the prepackaged foods that ascertain no added sugar on the label are actually jam-packed with sugar. And this is what sort of breaks my heart, because a lot of people go out there, you know, trying to do the best for their family. And they'll buy these, you know, no added sugar, you know, health alternatives. And these are the ones that actually, a lot of the times, jam-packed with sugar.
Yep.
So remembering what the WHO states, 6 teaspoons a day to be healthy, let's look at some of the common foods, and I'm sure you'll be surprised how much sugar they actually contain. Let's go through this list where sugar hides. So, for example, a 125ml glass dry white wine has 0.25 teaspoons of sugar. 1 tablespoon of tomato sauce. You ready? 1 teaspoon of sugar. Just 1 tablespoon. Of tomato
There's
sauce.
There's a lot of sugar in tomato sauce.
1 cup of almond milk has 2 teaspoons, and 1 cup of toasted muesli, 4 to 0.5 teaspoons of sugar.
Yeah.
As we go down the list,
I think that's a challenge, because a lot of people actually think eating muesli is a healthy choice, but quite often a lot of the muesli that you buy will have dried fruit and things like that that go with it as well, or sometimes they have, you know, honey sort of dried on top of it. So you do need to be careful. You need to be looking at the packaging. And a lot of that sugar is just insidious in the product.
Yeah, a few more down on this list. We've got a 500ml bottle orange juice, 9.5 teaspoons of sugar. And this probably isn't a surprise to many people, because they're onto it now. 375 can of soft drink. How many teaspoons do you reckon of sugar?
Oh, I think you're probably going to hit about the 15 mark.
Yeah, close on, depends. But this one's got 10 teaspoons of sugar. So... A quarter of a jar sweet and sour stir fry sauce. Now, most people, because it doesn't taste sweet, most people wouldn't think there'd be 11¾ teaspoons
in the whole
of
jar.
Sugar.
Yeah.
No, in a quarter of the jar.
Quarter of the jar.
Yeah. And 100 grams of chocolate has 13 teaspoons. Well, that's debatable, because
I actually thought chocolate was sugar-free.
So you can see that before you even know it, sugar addiction has taken hold, and your sweet cravings are present in your everyday life. Now, let me go through the actual cycle, okay? So what happens is, you normally eat sugar, you like it, you crave it, and it has addictive properties. I'm just going through the cycle of what actually happens so people can understand what's going on with their addictions. And then what happens is that the blood sugar levels actually spike. And what happens is that the transmitter dopamine is released into the brain, and then that causes the actual addiction. Okay, so the mass insulin secreted, which is a hormone that secretes to drop blood sugar levels, that occurs right about then. And then you'll get a blood sugar that levels, they actually fall rapidly after that, okay? You've got high insulin levels that cause immediate fat storage, okay? So whatever's in the bloodstream, the insulin levels will grab and store it as fat. It's just one of those survival tactics that your body has. But and then your body actually craves the lost sugar high. And what happens is, it needs more and more of it to get that same sugar hit that you felt previously. And this is when it starts creating issues and addictions and cravings. So the next stage of it would be that it creates hunger and cravings, and your low blood sugar levels cause increased appetite and cravings. And then the cycle's actually perpetuated again. You know, you go back and you eat sugar, but you eat a lot more of it. You like it, you crave it, has addictive properties, and the cycle continues.
But in amongst all that, it sounds like the brain and the body actually need sugar at some point, some level from somewhere.
Yeah, but when you eat sugar, especially the refined variety, or even some refined grains and other processed foods that your body quickly converts into sugar, your body goes through a process where you eat sugar, you get insulin spikes, your liver turns sugar to fat, okay? And then as the liver releases sugar into the bloodstream, your blood pressure rises. So some of these people that I actually see, it's because they're eating a lot of sugar and their blood pressure does rise. So it becomes similar to drugs, like similar to heroin. The dopamine levels in the brain actually surge. That's like when you take a drug, those dopamine levels surge. And then you get high insulin causes, glucose levels to plummet, so they go back down. Your body gets tired and asks for more sugar to offset the balance. And then there it goes again, that cycle. It's no wonder that there's a sugar addiction that's so real and so powerful, and it's gripped many lives of people so tightly that I actually see.
So this is going to be a hard one for people to break, isn't it? Because if manufacturers are putting sugar into food, knowing that it becomes addictive, so that if people become hungry and buy more food, or they like that food particularly, so they go buy more of it, that's going to be a hard cycle to break.
Yeah, well, it is a multi-billion dollar food industry, and it's got a compelling reason to want our sugar addictions to remain strong. You know that profit and sales depend on it. So that's why they sneak sugar into our foods, labelling those foods as, you know, low fat or free from artificial flavours. So when you see those words, be very careful that a lot of times they're actually laden with high sugar, and they can get away with it from a marketing perspective as well.
And I think it's worthwhile pointing out that over the years, you think about diet fads and also the information that comes out against, you know, around food in general, there was a period of time when fat was bad. So when fat was bad, the sugar industry did jump into that space and go, okay, well, no fat, low fat, but what they're really saying is high sugar, right? So
yeah, and those statements may be true, but they are simply masking sugar-laden products with a false claim of somehow they're actually healthy, and they're not.
No.
I'll give you an example.
Well, they make out like they're healthy by saying they're low fat.
Yeah, well, and they're laden with sugar. Yeah. And like I said to you, it can
burn. There wasn't a requirement to say how much sugar was actually in there, but labelling has changed a lot over the years, so that is now, I guess, allowing the consumer to make a better choice.
So, for example, many yogurts, you know, a lot of people think that yogurt's a healthy snack. It contains up to 30 grams of sugar per serving.
And some of those servings are small.
So that's right. The yogurt that you're eating and feeding to your family may contain more sugar than that chocolate bar that you were trying to avoid. Now, the same can be said for breakfast cereals. I see a lot of people, you know, when they bring in their diet charts to me, that they have a lot of breakfast cereals, granola bars, fruit juices, and they seem to be relatively healthy foods that we eat regularly. But you think that you're doing great things for your body, but despite your best efforts, most people are still eating way too much sugar. And like I said to you, you know, we're eating up to 14 teaspoons a day. So even if you're not reaching for ice cream, cookies and baked desserts every day, you're still likely eating a lot of sugar, because it's really hard to avoid these days if you're getting packaged foods.
Yeah, and a test of how much sugar that is, you know, if people want to try eating 14 teaspoons of just sugar, like actually getting 14 teaspoons of sugar and trying to eat them one after the other, good chance you're going to be sick.
All right, so, you know, like, and these days, because of the way the grains are treated, many other refined grains and processed foods act like sugar also.
Actually, I should put a disclaimer at that. Don't try that at home.
Sorry? What's that?
Eating the 14 teaspoons of sugar, just in case anyone had that idea.
All right. So, like I said to you, this is really important. So many other refined grains and processed foods act like sugar, and your body treats them like they're actually like sugar when you eat them. They do spike your blood sugar, and then you get the nasty sugar craving cycle that actually begins. So, you know, refined grains and processed foods actually have that reputation at the moment to actually be causing a lot of insidious diseases as well.
So can you explain a little bit in more detail the refined grains? So we're talking breads and that type of stuff?
Yeah, well, things that basically have their fibre taken out as well. So, yeah, we are talking about breads. We're talking about refined grains.
Yep.
Oats.
Pasta.
Even oats, yeah, pasta, rice, or refined grains.
Yep. So for those that are, you know, I guess there's this new, or it's not so much new, but there's definitely a big swing recent times around people turning vegan. So it can be actually quite easy for people to be an unhealthy vegan if they're just focusing on those refined grains like pastas and stuff to eat. Because a lot of people do, they really replace their meat with pasta, and that tastes nice and it's easy to do. But in actual fact, that can be damaging for them as well, can't it?
Most definitely, yeah. I mean, we'll talk about wheat on a different a scale, because that's a show on its own.
Wheat is.
All on its own and what it does to the body. So, look, sugar addiction is as powerful as cocaine addiction. And I just want to let people, you know, in our audience know that. So it's a very addictive substance. And how do the two actually compare? So consuming sugar sparks your, what they call it, the part of the brain, often referred to as a reward center, your nucleus accumbens. So when that becomes stimulated, it releases the dopamine and you begin to feel very good very quickly. All right, can you see why it's actually quite addictive?
It's chocolate.
So just like cocaine and other addictive drugs, over time your brain requires more sugar though in order to generate the same high.
Yeah, but this is what they call it, comfort food too, isn't it? So when people get upset, they go for what they call comfort food, which is normally sugar-based.
So your dopamine receptors become less sensitive to the presence of sugar. This is why you actually need more, and your addiction to sugar grows even stronger. So what are the warning signs of sugar addiction? What do you think of the warning signs? Because sugar's become such a common part of our daily diet now that we don't even notice how sweet many everyday foods are, do we?
No.
Okay.
Possibly not.
So let's have a look at some of the warning signs to sugar addiction. So you're looking at me because you're worried, aren't you?
Not at all. I am not addicted to sugar.
Yeah, you feel famished even after eating healthy foods all day?
No, I don't do that.
Chances are sugar, which has very little satiety to fill you up, is unwittingly sneaking into your day.
That's potential.
So instead, why don't we try this instead? So pay attention to food labels. Like I said, labels are really important in this case, and spot the sugar culprit. So fruit juice concentrate, rice, malt, syrup, and I gave other names for sugar to look out for. All right, so warning sign two, you use sugar to manage your emotions. This is probably done quite easily because, I mean, as children, if we cried or chucked a tantrum, what do you think our parents used to do?
Oh, you don't want to know. It definitely was not sugar in my household.
I see it these days as well.
It may have been something else. Maybe a cooking implement, but definitely was not food.
Okay. All right. So, so a lot of people actually use sugar that, you know, helps them get soothed when they're stressed, but science shows that it's only brief and it's temporary. So instead, try a daily meditation as a better way to calm your emotions. So all you need is about 20 minutes and a quiet space of your own. So when you're feeling, you know, that need to actually grab a chocolate bar.
Have a glass of water.
Go and meditate. So let's have a look seriously. So remove all sugar and processed foods from your house. So if you actually do this for 1 week, this will actually seriously stop a lot of the cravings for future. Yeah.
But this is what I mean. Like, it can actually be quite hard to do because, like, I would say, you know, 80% of my diet is pretty good. So I actually, after watching the sugar, what was it called, that sugar film, I think it's called, or that sugar movie, one of those.
The same producer of 2040. Yep.
Yeah, so I actually started looking at all the food that I eat, and so my breakfast literally is organic oats. And after looking at that packet, so I've got organic oats, and so you think you're doing the great thing, you know, being healthy.
So what scared you about that movie?
There was 21 grams of sugar in a serving of those particular oats.
Yeah.
So every bowl I was having had 4 to 5 teaspoons of sugar in it. So you think,
so what was the motivation behind that?
Well, when you look at, if people watch that movie, it can be pretty scary results. So you start talking about the addiction, you start talking about the long-term health effects of sugar, but also just that insidious, you know, progression. So like they say, it doesn't really matter what you do on a particular day, it's what you do every single day that counts. So if every day you're having just that little bit, it will add up over time. It's just like exercise. If you do a little bit every day, that will add up over time. But the same goes for the food that we eat. So if we're eating that little bit of bad food every day, sure, 1 day doesn't matter, 2 days doesn't matter, 3 days doesn't matter. But 1 year does, 2 years does, 20, 30 years definitely does. And so I guess some of the other podcasts that I've been listening to, when they start talking to doctors, they say a lot of the chronic illnesses that are coming into their into their clinics, and this is what you'll be finding, I know you find this in yours as well, could have been prevented if they changed their habits 20 years ago. So it's been 20 years in the making and they want a magic pill to make it go away.
It's always never too late though. All right, so let's have a look at some ways that we can actually, you know, overcome sugar addiction. Seriously, proven steps that I actually have used in clinic, okay? So one of the things I tell patients is actually remove all sugar and processed foods from the house. So what do you think I tell them that for? So, you know, you bet you'll face temptations to eat sugar while you work on breaking your addictions. It's going to happen. It's going to be natural, okay? But you can drastically increase your ability to resist temptation by removing all foods from your house that contain sugar, as well as those that are processed. Remember that highly processed foods are quickly converted into sugar once you eat them, that process that I talked about previously with the liver, all right? So look through your kitchen cupboards and pantry for all your sugary drinks, cereals, snack bars, yogurts, baked goods, breads, and anything else that contains sugar. If you really want to break the addiction, this is imperative that you actually do this. Throw it all out and commit to not bringing these foods back into the home until you're confident that your addiction has been permanently broken. Now, a lot of people aren't even aware that they have an addiction, and this is an issue, like I said. So, you know, like eat breakfast that is balanced in macronutrients as well. So many sugar cravings are stimulated because your body hasn't received the nutrients it really craves.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, some people lack magnesium, they lack iron, and the body actually craves and craves and craves until it actually gets that nutrient or that macronutrient.
Yep.
So the easiest way to eliminate or at least minimize these deficiencies is by eating a well-rounded breakfast. So eat a breakfast meal that includes, you know, healthy sources of the three macronutrients like carbohydrates, protein, and fat altogether. All right, so the other thing is you need to drink a lot more water too. So chronic dehydration can not only amplify your sugar cravings, but it also slows your metabolism and causes your body to store fat.
Mm.
And thinking that we're compromised, you know, by 75 to 90%, some people say, of water, that is essential. That we continue to hydrate ourselves. Now, the general rule of thumb for water consumption tells us to drink 8 glasses per day, but that should be your actual bare minimum, especially, you know, if you're an athlete, summer's coming along, you exercise, you know, you're breastfeeding. If you exercise, you know, adding maybe another glass for every 20 minutes that you're physically active is a great assumption, you know, to promote health. Now, preparing healthy snacks in bulk and carry some with you everywhere you go. I see a lot more patients doing that now, which is fantastic. You know, preparation is everything. Another reason sugar addiction can be difficult to break is because the vast majority of on-the-go snack options are loaded with sugar. You know, quick to go into the supermarket and grab what you're sort of fancy.
Absolutely.
And they're loaded with sugar and refined grains.
Yeah.
You know, things like cookies, snack bars, crackers, yogurts, granola bars, and many other common snack items will perpetuate your sugar addiction. And when you walk into a supermarket, have you seen the aisles and where they're placed?
Yeah, you shouldn't go in there when you're hungry.
It's amazing.
You always
isn't
come
it?
Out with the wrong type of food.
Yeah.
Okay. But you know that whole aspect around planning is really important because a lot of people say that, you know, they don't have time to plan, or they don't want to, you know, plan out what they're going to eat the next day because they want to be free to eat whatever they feel like. But the reality is that if you want to stick to a healthy diet and change your habits, that planning process is vital. Like I know I do travel a fair bit, so and because I'm in the car driving, it's very easy if I don't have pre-planned snacks like nuts or some popcorn made or something along the, or some fruit in the car. The next option is to pull over to a servo and get a chocolate bar. So if you want to get out of those habits and break the cycle, that planning becomes important.
Yeah, so and at least finding one healthy snack option that is free from sugar and other highly processed ingredients. You know, prepare a large batch every few days and store it in the portion size containers that you can take with you everywhere you go. I mean, I know that you love your bliss balls, so I pack them with nutrient-rich foods.
But also nuts and seeds and things like that, so that becomes really important.
Remember, if you let yourself get too hungry, though, your sugar cravings are going to come out in full force. So prevent this from happening by snacking as needed throughout the day. You know, and some people are grazers. They need to eat, what I say, 5 to 6 meals, or what I call snacks, per day, you know, so constantly grazing, so their blood sugar levels actually modulate. They don't spike up and they don't spike down, and they're basically modulated, so they don't get that insulin response, and then you're grabbing onto the sugar inside your bloodstream. Consciously move your body every single day. This is a big one too. So breaking your sugar addiction is heavily dependent on balancing your blood sugar, like I just spoke about. So when you eat sugary foods, all those that are quickly converted into blood sugar, your body has two options. So they either use that sugar as fuel, or they either store it as excess sugar, as fat. So daily exercise gives your body an outlet for excess blood sugar. This doesn't mean that you have to sign up for the gym or sweat till you drop. It does mean, though, that you should be moving and going for a walk, stretching at your desk.
But both of those can help.
Yeah, and playing outside with your kids, that can all add up.
It does, absolutely.
The increments, yeah.
Yep.
All right, so the big one that I actually do see too is lowering your stress levels. This is a big one, particularly these days. So if you're living under chronic stress, your sugar cravings are going to be tough to beat. The high that you get from eating sugar is so much more appealing when it can be used to temporarily reduce anxiety and feelings of stress. And we've all been there, haven't we? Really? You know, when we need to feel quite good and light up that brain
or eat chocolate.
Neurotransmitters, the dopamine.
Maybe sometimes.
But you can significantly reduce your stress levels in less than 5 minutes per day. You know, there's lots of de-stressing techniques now that are available. And you can do them from 2 to 5 minutes a day that can significantly, de-stress you.
And I think even the term stress has some negative connotations about it, but we all do. It's part of our fight-flight response. And I think when people can come to terms with that, I guess come to happy terms with the fact that it's actually innate, it's built into our DNA, like all of us. So, you know, we are hardwired to look out for the saber-toothed tigers and flee or fight or whatever it's going to be. But these days we don't have those, well, in many cases we don't have those physical stresses there, but we have emotional stresses, like people pulling in front of us in traffic, or someone, you know, the computer crashing at work, or something not going to plan as we would like it to be. So all those stresses build up. So like you said, we need to get that outlet, and motion, just that physical motion, the physicality of moving, helps release and remove that out of the body.
Yeah. Alrighty. So another tip would be to get better quality sleep each night. Do you find a lot more people are having trouble sleeping lately?
In the last few months, I have heard that going around, yeah.
Mm. Okay. So when you do your most intense sugar cravings appear, do you think? If you're like most people, cravings become more intense towards the end of the day, don't you think?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't get sugar cravings.
Confessions. Come on, confessions. This is affirmed by research showing that sugar cravings are deeply tied to your circadian rhythm.
But also I think people aren't hydrating through the day, people aren't eating well through the day. So it would make sense that as the brain, because the brain needs a lot of fluid and also needs that sugar to operate, right? So as the brain is using it through the day, it needs to be replenished. So if people aren't eating well or hydrating well, it makes sense then that they're going to be looking for that sugar at the end of the day.
Yeah, well, it is at the end of the day, but this one's tied to your circadian rhythm and your sleep pattern. So if you're not sleeping on a regular schedule, or if you're not getting enough quality sleep in general, your sugar addiction will actually intensify. That's what we found. So the most important step you can take towards getting better quality sleep is to set a bedtime routine and stick to it. And, I recommend choosing a realistic bedtime for your weeknights at least. Allow yourself some leeway on the weekends, but going to bed about 7 o'clock. No, I'm only joking. No, but for adults, it really does depend on what time you get up, doesn't it? Really.
Look, it does. And some people are night people and some people are morning people. There are a lot of people that push, especially in the success field. You get YouTube and Instagram pictures of The Rock out at the gym at 3 a.m. in the morning with his entourage of people working out. But that works for them. There are other people that, it works for them to work through and then sleep a bit later. But, research would indicate that you actually get better sleep those couple of hours before midnight are probably equal to double the sleep after midnight. So I guess there's a couple of different camps. But most would say sleep is not just about sleep, it's actually about recovery and allowing the body to rejuvenate and repair. And so a lot of the research now is between 7 to 8 hours.
Yeah, well, that still holds true, 8 hours it does. Okay, so another tip to stay on track for your sugar detox would be never to skip a meal. And like I said to you, if you miss a meal, that can lead to lower blood sugar levels and cause you to overeat the rest of the day to make up for missed kilojoules. Yeah.
That's right.
So, you know, sometimes you'll need to graze on really good food, high nutrient-dense food throughout the day so your blood sugar levels don't dip. So one of the other things too is flavour bomb your taste buds as well. So think about which non-sweet tastes really thrill your taste buds. You got any favourites? Chilli, garlic, mustard, wasabi, lemon, or a crunch of fresh parsley or coriander? Any herbs like that? Or looking at me. The whole team's looking at me really strangely. No? All right, just commit to exploring the diversity of flavours that nature does offer. Today, I actually put tamari on my almonds, and that was quite a flavour bomb. It was quite good. It's something that I'll continue to do, putting tamari on my almonds.
Well, something that we have done with the snacks for while I'm driving is my popcorn. Is I actually put herbs on my popcorn, and the girls also like that, don't you? Yep. So it's not about just putting sugars on everything, but I don't know if you'd actually put sugar on popcorn, but definitely the herbs and the salt, different types of salt, rock salt, actually is quite nice.
All right. So how about setting a goal every day, like live intentionally every day? Set an intention each morning, like a personal goal that starts with, today I will... which is very simple but effective, particularly with if you're trying to stay on track with a sugar detox as well. Injecting some joy into each day too. To shrink your sugar belly, a daily shot of me time is vital to both your health and well-being. So it could be 20 minutes of stretching or, going for a walk, soothing bath, or quick dance to your favourite song. You know, just injecting some joy and some great hormones that will liven things up.
I like to start my day with a dance, absolutely.
Oh, please.
Actually, I don't. I dance on the inside for those that know me. But I have to say, living down here at the bay, though, it's fantastic because, we do have that opportunity to go. There's a lot of outdoor activity in here, so people can walk along the beach. And, quite often that's where we do meet people because we're all out walking along the beach down here or walking along the trails. And it's just a fantastic space to get out and about. And like you said, it's a great way to start the day and start the day with intention. And I'll even go that step further. I know we've talked about this on other of our shows, which is about everything that we do should have intention.
So with that intention, check in on how you're feeling too before you actually eat. This is a good one too. So the first step to breaking that emotional connection with sugar is to become aware. I think, did we talk about awareness? And feelings that drive you to do it. Ask yourself, are you really hungry or is there something else behind your craving as well? Is it going to be resourceful? Is this going to, become resourceful for what I want to achieve in life? So mastering this will actually make a major difference as well.
But, like we talk about even hydration, so a lot of the research I've seen is that they say, look, if you are starting to feel hungry, have a glass of water, have 2 glasses of water, especially before mealtime, about 20 minutes out. And that will actually change the craving. And part of that too is actually getting nice clean water to start filtering and flushing the body through. So that, I guess, the importance of having clean water. And the reason I'm saying water is because a lot of people think fluid. So then they go to the sugary drinks or the juice. Or if they have a coffee, they'll have sugar in their coffee. Or if they have a tea, they can put sugar in their coffee. In their tea. So just have straight water. It's really good for the body. It hydrates it. But, within that 15, 20 minutes after having those 2 glasses or even a glass, you'll find that the cravings do shift. So I've noticed over the last few weeks, I've actually started the day by having the equivalent of 4 glasses of water, and that's how I start the day. And that has seen a significant shift just in the way I snack while I'm driving or even how hungry I feel throughout the morning period.
Now, did you know that vegetables aren't carbs? Well, and you can get to eat as much as you want. Unlimited refills, that's what I call it. There's one catch. I only mean that the non-starchy veggies such as greens, broccoli, cauliflower, kale, collards, asparagus, green beans, mushrooms, onions, zucchini, tomatoes, fennel, eggplant, artichokes, peppers. You can actually... take them out for 10 days and skip the grains and beans for 10 days as well. And you'll tend to supercharge those results as well. So fight sugar with fat. Fat's not a four-letter word, like you said. Fat doesn't make you fat. Sugar does.
But again, that would come down to the type of fat, I would assume. It's all like, you know, sugar in fruit versus fat that's processed fat.
Yeah, fat makes you full, balances your blood sugar levels and is necessary for fueling your cells. So along with protein, have good fats at every meal and snack, including, like you said, did you mention this previously, including nuts and seeds, which yep. also contain protein, you know, cocoa butter, avocados, omega-3 fats from things like flaxseed or fish. And
so margarine would have fat too, I'm assuming, but probably not that good for you.
No, definitely not, because it's been
processed. So like you said, remove all the processed food, as much processed food as you can, and that will make a big difference as well.
Alrighty, I think I'd need a drink of water, so we might go to a break, okay, and just come back. Just
we'll see you break. Soon. Thanks for listening in. If you're watching live on Filthy at the moment, with getting some music to play. Here we go. It's now coming through.
Yeah, next Thursday.
See you next week.
Bye.